Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk about two terror-related stories. One is that the Russians have killed their own Osama bin Laden. That's big. The number one most wanted terrorist in Russia is this guy. Now, when I say his name, those who listen to the show often, they'll notice something. His name is Shamil Basayev, and that's spelled S-H-A-M-I-L. You know, it's sort of wild how many terrorists have the word ham in their name, terrorist or terrorist organizations. This guy, he took responsibility for the Beslan school massacre. Remember, over 330 people murdered, more than half of them children. Just utterly devastating. And we point out how many terrorists have H-A-M in their names. And this is because of the short history of the world. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And, of course, the Jews are Semites from Shem. And other Semites intermarried with the Canaanites. Canaan was the son of Ham. And there's just this ethnic and cultural confirmation of the Hamitic origins of these terrorists. And I'm not saying that someone Hamitic is somehow evil or sinful. No, it's just the short history of the world. And so you have all these Hams. Hambali, that's the Southeast Asia's Osama bin Laden. Hambali and Hamas in Palestine and Syria, Hamas. And Mohammed Atta, of course, he was the lead terrorist in 9/11. And remember how many kids were killed in 9/11? It was eight children, eight. We'll talk more about that. But this Shamil Basayev took responsibility, and now Russia killed him early this morning. He took responsibility for the how many kids would that have been? Over 160 children murdered at Beslan School, at the Beslan School massacre. And of the eight kids in 9/11, that's 20 children murdered for every one murdered here on American soil. Just a devastating massacre. And I'm very thankful that they killed this latest terrorist. But I actually want to talk more about that story, but first, and about that observation of so many terrorists with ham in their name. I mean, it's sort of weird. It's sort of weird, and it's just one small interesting observation. But first, I want to talk about what happened in Houston at the airport there. It's called the Hobby Airport. And they allowed this guy to get on a plane and to fly, and he had raised suspicion. And so I want to ask you, do you think this guy should have been allowed on this plane, or should they not have allowed him on and done further investigation? Now, I have here a story from the Houston Chronicle, and here basically there's now a dispute between the Houston Police Department and the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, and they're saying, oh, who's responsible for allowing this guy on this aircraft? And the Houston Chronicle has gotten this, they've obtained this report, a confidential TSA report, and so that's how we know the details of this story. And a Houston police officer who was involved has basically been demoted and given a desk job. And so here's what happens. There's a guy wanting to board a Delta Airlines flight to Atlanta, and he had a Middle Eastern name. I don't know if Ham was in his name or not, but he had a Middle Eastern name. That's not a big deal. And screeners asked him if he had a laptop computer in his baggage, and he shook his head. Like, no, he didn't, but the x-ray machine operator said, hey, there's a laptop in there. He's saying he doesn't have one. You're supposed to take out the laptop separately. So they search his baggage, and not only do they find the laptop, but there's a clock with a 9-volt battery taped to the clock. You know how a control would be made to blow up a bomb at a certain time? That's a bit unusual. Now, they also find in his luggage a copy of the Quran. And upon further inspection, his shoes, the entire soles of both of his shoes were gutted out, hollowed out. And so they found all this. They found all this. And so the Houston police who were on the scene and the TSA folks, the Transportation Security Administration, they, between the two, neither group said, you know, we got to not allow this guy to board. They allowed him to board. They said the reason was they couldn't find a bomb. They couldn't find a bomb, so they let him board. And now it's caused a bit of a scandal, and the FBI is doing an investigation. So, you know what? Rather than me just ranting and raving about this, you know who I'd like to call? Could we try to get Dale Squire on the line? Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Now, Dale is a 40-year veteran of the Denver Police Department, and after 9/11, they stationed Dale at the Denver International Airport at DIA. So let's see if we could get him on the line. So they take this guy, and they... I'm thankful that they identified all these problems with him. You know, he's got a Middle Eastern name, and he says he doesn't have a laptop in his luggage. Turns out he did have a laptop. They search his luggage, and they find a clock with a 9-volt battery taped to it. They think that's rather suspicious. Then they find a copy of the Quran, and that in and of itself is not enough to keep you off a flight. Unless, of course, the owners of the airline don't want you to fly with the Quran. But, I mean, you're allowed to fly with a copy of the Quran. And then, you know how they have you take off your shoes? And the reason they have people take off their shoes is because, remember Richard Reed, the shoe bomber? Remember him? He, thanks to him, millions of Americans, when they get on planes, we have to take off our shoes to see if anyone has tampered with their shoes and hollowed out an area where they could put maybe plastic explosives. And so this guy, it turns out, both his shoes were both hollowed out. And so that's all pretty weird. Now, the FBI has done enough of their investigation that they're saying, for some reason, I don't quite get it, but they're saying this man has been cleared from being a terrorist. They don't think he was a terrorist or he'd done anything wrong. Now, this might be a series of really weird coincidences. But, oh, we've got Dale Squire on the line. Okay, great job. Let's go to a 40-year veteran of the Denver Police Department, Dale Squire. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Dale. Hey, as our law enforcement analyst here at Bob and Yurt Live, we appreciate you being available.
My pleasure.
You heard about this story?
Yeah, I read that. I read about it.
And so I'd like to ask you, because I am an amateur, an observer, and you were not only 40 years with the police, but since 9/11, you were stationed at DIA. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
All right. So what do you think of the decision that was made in this story to allow this guy to get on the Delta aircraft?
Well, believe it or not, we had a lot of similar incidents, and they let him go way too soon.
They let this guy go too soon.
We would have never done that in Denver, honest.
Well, and I am glad to hear that. We fly through DIA often. So what would be the process? It almost sounds like TSA, if you read this story by the Houston Chronicle, they're saying, hey, we did our job, and there was no bomb, and so we allowed them to get on the flight.
Yeah, no, it's a joint thing. Everybody, including the airlines, it's their aircraft,
right,
as far as a business goes. So you definitely all agree. And if you don't, for example, if I was there and I didn't agree, then I would hold him on a city or state ordinance personally.
Oh.
But usually, with all the minds involved, you arrive at the correct decision.
In other words, usually the parties agree,
yes.
Hey, this guy is too suspicious just to let him get on this plane.
Right, yeah. TSA, we were lucky in Denver. We had some real sharp people. We had a lot of ex-military and actually high-ranking type officers even. And so we were lucky there. They were really on top of the thing. And then our officers were stationed right at the checkpoints. I think that's common all over the country now. So you could handle the whole thing real quick there, and then, of course, you get the FBI involved and on the phone and tell them what you got if they're needed, you know.
Now, I don't know why. I'm not from Texas.
Uh-huh.
But the Houston airport here, it's called the Hobby Airport. And I don't know if that's just not a real airport. It's just a hobby airport. I don't. But that must be somebody's name.
Yeah, they've named it after somebody. Okay. I honestly am not familiar with it either.
Well, that's right. But the Houston police captain, Dwayne Reddy, he was justifying what they did. And he said, hey, that's not our job. That's not our job. It's the airline and TSA.
Right.
But it seems like they could have put up a red flag. And said, we don't want this guy getting on this plane.
Yeah, absolutely. It's city property. You know, it's still Denver, and as far as Denver goes, if it happened here.
Yeah, it's
and
probably
it's still Houston.
Houston.
It's
right.
The city police's jurisdiction. So you definitely all agree, or like I say, if it was really, really a scary thing like this with the shoes involved, why, we just hang on to them until we figured it out.
Yeah. Now, Dale, let me ask you a last question. It seems we hear so many complaints from Americans that grandma will be searched two or three times.
Oh, it's just...
And three or four 19-year-old Middle Eastern guys will
right.
walk right onto the plane without being stopped.
Yeah.
It seems like that. I mean...
No, it is. It is like that. And I'll tell you what the unfortunate thing is, the police officers and the TSA people working the screening, they don't make the rules, and they're bound by these crazy rules.
Right.
And, it's just, it really is, it's almost malfunctions, the system. It really does. It just, it's maddening the way that goes on, and
yeah.
everybody knows it. I mean, like you said, it's real, real obvious that grandma's going to lose her shoes.
Yeah, right. It's dysfunctional.
It is.
And right after 9/11, I mean, immediately, even during 9/11, I happened to be on the air at the Information Radio Network
right.
with Larry Bates.
That's right. I remember that.
During the tragedy unfolding, the terrorist attack, and we were pointing out not only that this is obviously not the Palestinians, this is some group with more resources, this is Osama bin Laden.
Right.
But that this wasn't a failure of airport security. This was a failure of airport strategy.
That's right. That's a good answer.
It's strategy because you're never going to be able to stop everybody from bringing anything dangerous when you're dealing with tens of thousands of passengers a day at an airport. There's no way. You can't do that. But what you could do is what Israel had done in arming their cockpits.
Yeah, they were way ahead of us.
Yeah, arming their pilots.
Yeah.
And our pilots' unions, one of the unions voted that they wanted to be armed,
of course.
And the Bush administration, right after 9/11, was opposing the pilots' union and not wanting pilots to be armed.
Yeah, that baffled us, because who else would be better to have the weapon? And those guys are bright people, and they don't want to crash either. So
yeah, that's right. And I could say, well, we don't trust the pilot, but
yeah.
Come on, he's the pilot.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah.
trust the pilot. And it's almost, it's like this liberal knee-jerk reaction
yes.
against the civilian's ability to defend himself.
Yeah, it was a slap in the face not to trust those guys. It was bad.
Yeah, and now we do have, I think Congress passed a law, and we have pilots being trained to carry guns in the cockpit, but at such a slow rate.
I know, that's exactly right. It's not happening fast enough.
Yeah, and one suggestion we had here at Bob and Eric Live was... Hey, if there are seats available, now you might like this being
yeah.
retired law enforcement, but if there are seats available on a plane going somewhere, if a law enforcement officer is armed, if he's carrying a weapon, he can take that seat.
Right. And also, we do have a federal regulation now that allows retired police officers, if they qualify with their weapon again, they can carry it federally. So we have the authority to carry it federally already anyway if you go through that quick course. So that'd be, I think that'd be a great thing.
Yeah, that is great. And so, all right, Dale Squire, thank you so very much. It's an honor to be able to call you from time to time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you, sir.
See ya.
All right. So I don't think it's just us. In fact, it's obviously not just us. The Houston Police Department, while they're saying they did nothing wrong, they basically demoted the officer at the site and gave him a desk job. And I guess that's as close as you could come to the door on the way out, a desk job. And it's, you know, for me, not knowing anything, if I were there and you had all those factors, I would say this guy, he might not be a terrorist, but he's looking like a terrorist, or he's like a terrorist wannabe, and he needs to be investigated. Maybe he knows a terrorist. Maybe it's just too many factors altogether. But the fact that he had a Middle Eastern name and a copy of the Quran, that pretty much guarantees that they're going to let him on the plane. Now, if he was a grandma with hollowed out shoes, she would have probably been kept off the plane. A grandma from Tennessee. She would have probably been kept off the plane. But this guy apparently must have been his Middle Eastern name and his copy of the Quran. And they must have said, you know what, we got to let him board. And so they did. And so the FBI is still doing an investigation. And boy, it's just an illustration of how our government doesn't have the stomach to do rightly. They don't have the stomach for it. They don't have the stomach for justice. Like, you get criminals who kidnap and rape children, and the big conservative push is to lock them up in jail where they get to play softball and basketball and watch cable TV. Why isn't the big conservative push in the country to execute criminals who kidnap and rape children? Why do we lock them up in jail? How many child sex offenders have been in jail and got out to kidnap, rape, and murder other children? So, but America doesn't have the stomach to protect the innocent. We don't have the stomach. All right, so now I want to get to this Hamil Basayev. Oh, I mispronounced his name. There's an S at the beginning of it. It's not Ham, it's Sham. Sham, S-H-A-M. Shamil Basayev. Russia killed this Islamic terrorist leader today in retaliation for the more than 330 people murdered at the Beslan school massacre. Remember that in 2004? And about 160 of those murder victims were children. And how utterly devastating that is. On 9/11, you know, so many people were killed, 3,000, that it's hard to remember the children, but there were 8 kids that Mohammed Atta murdered, him being the ringleader of the 19 who were on the planes that day. There were 8 children, 3 real young kids on United Flight 175. That was the plane that crashed into the second tower, the south tower of the World Trade Center. That had real young kids, ages 2, 3, and 4. And at that age, you know, undoubtedly they were scared, even terrified, but they most likely had no idea what was going on. But then when American Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon, those kids were a bit older. There was a real young one, 3. But then the other 4 kids on that flight were ages 8 and 11. 11 and 11. So those kids, like our son Zachary is 8 years old, and those kids are very aware of what's going on around them and undoubtedly old enough to be horribly frightened, terrified. And so you think about kids and kids also being the victim. And, you know, war is devastating and innocent people get killed in war, and in a just war, there are often innocent children that get killed, that you wish they were not killed, but they get killed. And even our own guys get killed when we fight a just war, like in World War II, to try to stop the Germans and the Japanese. We're fighting a just war, and we bomb our own guys sometimes. We did it in Afghanistan. We did it in Iraq. It happens in every war. If you're fighting a just war, you kill some people that you wish you had not killed. Whereas the terrorist, they want to kill those kids, along with the women and children. That is their intention and their goal. As, for example, in Beslan in Russia, this was a school massacre. They took over this school and held hundreds of kids hostage. And so I'm thankful that Russia now has killed this Islamic terrorist, Shamil Basayev, S-H-A-M-I-L. And we point out, I'm sure this is the only place where in the worldwide battle against terrorism, this is probably the only place where you'll hear it pointed out how many terrorists and terror groups have H-A-M, Ham, in their names. Like New York City's Holland Tunnel terrorist just this past week arrested Asem Hamoud, H-A-M-M-O-U-D, Hamoud. And then, you know, the Osama bin Laden of Southeast Asia, that's Hambali, H-A-M-B-A-L-I. And then the Palestinian terrorist organization, Hamas, H-A-M-A-S. And then there's 9/11's Mohammed Atta, H-A-M, right in the middle of it. And, of course, Al-Qaeda's lieutenant, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, H-A-M. And then there's that terrorist sympathizer, sniper, John Alvin Mohammed, H-A-M. And Muhammad Abu Abbas, right? That's not M-O-H-A-M, that's M-U-H-A-M. I guess they distinguish. And so many others. And now this dead schoolhouse terrorist, Shamil Basayev. So, you know, Europeans descended from Noah's son, Japheth. Jews and other Semites descended from Shem. And Orientals and others from Ham, their Hamitic people. And Ham fathered Canaan, the Canaanites. By the way, that happened via incest with his mother, Noah's wife, as it says in the Bible. And the Canaanites grew up with a culture hostile to Abraham and his influence on ancient society. And various Canaanites and Semites intermarried, and through biblical times they warred against the Israelites. And today, this short history of the world continues with the ethnic and cultural descendants of various Canaanite tribes confirming their Hamitic origins. I'm not saying if you're descended from Ham, you're evil. Of course not. That's foolish. If you're descended from Canaan, that doesn't mean you're evil. It means you're a Canaanite. And we were in Israel. We've gone 3 Bible tours of Israel. And we were there 1 year, and the Palestinians were reenacting ancient Canaanite pagan rituals. That was pretty wild, while we were there. So it's the short history of the world. And later this week, we'll be interviewing Bob Kornicki from the Base Institute in Colorado Springs. He led the expedition that included Josh McDowell and other prominent leaders. And they think there's a possibility they found the remains of Noah's Ark on a mountain in northern Iran, 13,200 feet up. I've read Bob Kornicki's book called Ark Fever, just finished reading it a couple weeks ago. And so it was quite a coincidence that ABC and AOL reported at length the possible discovery of the remnant of Noah's Ark. So we'll be talking to Bob Kornicki about that. And what else do I want to let you know about? Oh, OSA, operate. Oh, by the way, so that'll end my observation of so many of these terrorist groups with HAM, H-A-M, in their names. And OSA, Operation Save America, will have their annual event next week in Jackson, Mississippi. And that, if you recall, is the location of the last abortion clinic in the entire state of Mississippi. So a few hundred pro-lifers will descend on Jackson, Mississippi, and we'll be going, a number of us from Denver Bible Church. In fact, after church on Sunday, I'll be heading out driving with some of the guys from the church. So many are flying, others are driving. But if you're interested, last minute, let us know. We'll see if there's space in a car for you, or at least we'll let you know where it is and how to get to it. You could go to their website, OperationSaveAmerica.com, or just our website, KGOV.com, and you could click on OSA, help them close down the last abortion clinic in Mississippi. All right, now you know about White Fence Farm? White Fence Farm? Well, we have friends of Bob and Yurt Live, and they're in the state on vacation, and they're going to be singing. It's an open mic bluegrass event at White Fence Farm Thursday night from 7 to 9. So you could go there and eat, have a great time, or just stop in for dessert and listen to our dear friends. Their name is Hainig, H-A-I-N-I-N-G, Mike Hainig and his family, beautiful children. That'll be a lot of fun. And then I want to also let you know about Denver Bible Church. You are invited to come on out. Sunday school's at 9:30. Church is at 11 o'clock. We got a call today from the Rocky Mountain News, their religion editor, and they're saying they'd like to come by and do a story on the church. So that should be interesting, and that should happen within the next couple weeks. So in Denver Bible Church, if you can't come, you could always subscribe to our sermons and Bible studies. People get them on MP3 CDs and audio tapes all around the country. And you can find out more about that at KGOV, KGOV.com. Or you could call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And we meet in Arvada at Maranatha Christian Center. And Maranatha, I've been talking about Maranatha on the air for 15 years, and they are simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. 20 beautiful acres, a staff of about 100, all there to help your kids with a Christ-centered education. Maranatha.